بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين أما بعد continue studying the statement of the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم and that advice that he has given the Ummah اتق الله حيث ما كنت to fear Allah wherever you may be and we continue reading from what Al-Hafidh Ibn Rajab Al-Hanbali, he has mentioned about this affair, rahimahullahu ta'ala. We have been studying the statement that is very beneficial. He says, وَيَدْخُلُ فِي التَّقْوَى الْكَامِلَةِ فِعْلُ الْوَاجِبَاتِ وَتَرْكُ الْمُحَرَّمَاتِ وَالشُّبُهَاتِ وَرُبَّمَا دَخَلَ فِيهَا بَعْدَ ذَلِكَ فِعْلُ الْمَنْدُوبَاتِ وَتَرْكُ الْمَكْرُوهَاتِ وَهُوَ أَعْلَى دَرَجَاتِ التَّقْوَى That what is included in the complete taqwa and the complete fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla is to perform the obligations and to stay away from the prohibitions, to leave them. And likewise, those doubtful affairs. Also included in a taqwa is to perform the recommended affairs and to leave off that which is disliked also. And this is the highest levels. This is the highest levels of piety and righteousness. This is the highest levels of the fear of Allah, of a taqwa. And then after this, he mentioned the evidences for this, and that was those verses that we studied in the previous class. The verses in Surah Al-Baqarah in the beginning. Whenever Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he mentioned several of the attributes of the people of At-Taqwa. The people of At-Taqwa and piety, the people of righteousness, they have attributes. Allah, he began his book by clarifying them, or clarifying some of them. And likewise, in many other places in his book, subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarifies their traits in detail. And from this, the author, he mentioned another verse clarifying some of the beautiful and lofty and noble traits of the people of At-Taqwa. And he says, rahimahullah wa qala ta'ala, and Allah the Most High, he says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ But rather, righteousness, albir, is that you believe in Allah and the last day and in the angels and the books and the prophets. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى وَالْيَتَامَى وَالْمَسَاكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ And that you give your wealth, or the one who gives his wealth, although he loves it to his relatives, and likewise the orphans and the needy, or the poor and the wayfarer, the one who is traveling and stuck on a journey, and those who are in need and they ask, and likewise in the freeing of slaves. وَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا And likewise, those who establish the salah and they perform the zakat and they fulfill their covenants and they fulfill their covenants whenever they make covenants and whenever they make a promise, they fulfill it. Whenever they make a contract, they fulfill it. They do not betray the covenant. وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ And likewise, those who are patient. Those who are patient in the time of poverty and likewise in the time of sickness and ailment. And those who are patient in the time of war and battle. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا Allah, he mentioned closing this verse and closing the mention of these attributes. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا It is these people, meaning these people who are described with these traits, they are the ones who are truthful. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا These people here with these traits, they are the ones who are truthful. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ And these people, they are the righteous and the pious. They are the people of At-Taqwa. They are the people of At-Taqwa. The author, he mentioned the portion of the verse which is an evidence for the discussion. But this verse, it has a reason why it was revealed. In the beginning, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he clarified, لَيْسَ الْبِرَّ أَن تُوَلُّوا وُجُوهَكُمْ قِبَلَ الْمَشْرِقِ وَالْمَغْرِبِ That it is not from birr, or righteousness and piety, that one he turns his face to the east and to the west. But then he mentioned this portion here, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ until the end of the verse. But rather, righteousness is the one who believes in Allah until the end of these characteristics and these traits that are mentioned here, clarifying what is albir and righteousness. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned about this, rahimahullahu ta'ala, that whenever Allah Azza wa Jal, he changed the qibla from Bayt al-Maqdis to to the Kaaba, that some of the Jews and the people of the book, they found this to be strange or difficult to understand. And likewise, possibly some of the Muslims found it also a difference, and it's the first time that there was ever an abrogation in the legislation. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He revealed this verse to clarify the reasoning, to clarify the reality and the wisdom behind that. And it is not righteousness in itself that one will face in this direction or that direction. This in itself is not righteousness, that one will turn his face to the east or to the east or to the west, or that he will face Bayt al-Maqdis, or that he will face the Kaaba. This in itself is not righteousness, but rather what is righteousness in birr and taqwa is to believe in Allah and to comply to His commandments. So therefore, Ibn Kathir, he mentioned, rahimahullahu ta'ala, أن المراد إنما هو طاعة الله وأن المراد إنما هو طاعة الله عز وجل وامتثال أوامره والتوجه حيثما وجه. That what is intended and what the reality of righteousness is that one will comply, that one will comply to the obedience of Allah and comply to the commandments of Allah. And then that one, he will devote himself and direct himself wherever Allah directs him. That one will devote himself to Allah Azza wa Jalla, and he will direct his face wherever Allah directs him. So it's not a specific direction, that directing one's face in that direction specifically is righteousness, but rather it is righteousness because this is what Allah has commanded. And to turn in this direction, in this manner, this is what is pleasing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So this has been clarified. This has been clarified. So wherever one turns his face, so long as that is what Allah has commanded, and this is in following His legislation, then this is worship, and this is righteousness, and this is goodness. If a person were to face Bayt al-Maqdis today, it would not benefit him. And this is not something that is pleasing to Allah. Rather, what is pleasing to Allah is that we follow His commandments and that we follow His messenger and legislation that has been revealed. So this is the point here, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarifies. Not turning one way or another way, but rather turning one's face and his devotion and his heart to Allah Azza wa Jalla alone, and complying to Him and submitting to Him and surrendering to Him by following His commandments. This is righteousness. This is righteousness. But here we see that Allah Azza wa Jalla, He has mentioned many of the traits of the righteous. And in this noble verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He clarifies many of the fundamentals of the deen, and specifically the creed, and likewise the actions of the heart as well as the actions of the body parts. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. But rather, righteousness is the one who believes in Allah. وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. These are known as Arkan al-Iman. Arkan al-Iman. These are the pillars of al-Iman. How many pillars of Iman are there? Six. How many is mentioned here? وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ وَالْيَوْمِ الْآخِرِ وَالْمَلَائِكَةِ وَالْكِتَابِ وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. وَالنَّبِيِّينَ. Mentioned directly five. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that also included in this understanding, believing in Allah is believing in His decree. To believe in Allah consists of believing in His decree and believing in His lordship and believing properly in the rububiyyah of Allah Azza wa Jal, is to believe in His decree and that He has the ability to do all things. Al-Qadr Qudratullahi Azza wa Jal, like Imam Ahmad, he said, rahimahullahu ta'ala. So this is all included here. The pillars of faith that are in the heart, and they proceed from the heart. So to believe in Allah in a manner He has commanded in the last day, and likewise to believe in the angels and to believe in the book. Here it says al-kitab. What is meant? Yani jins al-kitab. Yani al-kutub al-munazzala. Al-kutub al-munazzala. To believe in all of the books, and likewise when nabiyin and the prophets. So here this is aqidah. Allah, He began like this. Righteousness is to have the proper aqidah, to have the proper creed. But whenever that creed is proper and good, we see that followed up by that, or proceeding from that, or based upon that, or the fruit of that aqidah, there's application and there's action. And Allah, He followed that up directly, and He says, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. And they give their wealth. They give their wealth even though they love it. Even though they love their wealth, they give it. They still give it. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He has referred to this issue here, the love of wealth, and likewise the issue of the righteous with that wealth and their love for wealth is that they prefer the love of Allah. Although they love wealth, they prefer the love of Allah. So therefore they give their wealth for the sake of Allah Azza wa Jal, seeking what they prefer. Seeking what they prefer. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned this about the reality of wealth. لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. That you will never obtain righteousness, albir. That's what's mentioned here in this verse. In وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ مَنْ آمَنَ بِاللَّهِ. Here, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. And he gave, or and they give their wealth, and even though they love it. لَنْ تَنَالُوا الْبِرَّ حَتَّى تُنْفِقُوا مِمَّا تُحِبُّونَ. You will never obtain true righteousness, and you will never complete your faith and piety until you give from that which you love. Until you give from that which you love. The wealth that you love, you give it. Whenever Abu Talha, he heard about this, he heard this verse, radiallahu anhu, he mentioned to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Burayha, this is the most beloved wealth I have. The most beloved wealth I have, it was a great bustan and garden that had many fruits and the likes and benefit. And he said, I give it for the sake of Allah. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was very happy about that. And he said, I advise you to give it in charity to your relatives. So this is an example of the companions complying to that. So if a believer wants to try himself and his faith, then he has to give from what he loves. The wealth that he loves, he will give from it. Even though he loves it, and even though he needs it, and even though he can benefit from it himself, he will still give from that. And we see in that the obligatory giving, this is a must, and this is not recommended, rather it's an obligation. But likewise, that is only a small portion. And Allah Azza wa Jalla, He's not asking for us to give all of our wealth. And even the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, He did not recommend that. But rather we give some of the wealth. Some of the wealth that we love, we also love our brothers to have that. And we love the pleasure of Allah more so than we will give from that. This is the way of the righteous. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. Who do they give it to? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He mentioned here several different categories of people. Who do they give the wealth that they love to? Allah, He says, ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى, first and foremost. And they are the people who have the most right to the charity of an individual. Those who are their relatives. The relatives from his mother and father's side. This is the people that he has ties with, of kinship. That it's very beneficial and good for a believer to keep the ties of kinship. And this is likewise an obligation. And this is a means to have good in this life and in the hereafter. By keeping the ties of relatives and kinship. Keeping the ties of relatives and kinship. And from that is to give them wealth. To give them wealth and to give them charity and to spend on them. To spend on them. If it's obligatory, it's obligatory. If it's not obligatory, then it's still recommended to spend on them. وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ. This is birr. وَلَكِنَّ الْبِرَّ, to believe in Allah and these pillars, وَآتَ الْمَالَ, the one who does this. And he gives his wealth. Who? To his family. To his family. To his relatives. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned that the one who gives a sadaqah lil masakin fahiya sadaqah. And whoever gives the sadaqah to the relatives, fahiya sadaqatun wasila. Then this is two good deeds. Not just charity, not only is it charity, but also is charity in keeping ties of relatives. Keeping ties of kinship. So this is, like we say here, taking out two birds with one stone. He's giving charity, instead of giving charity just to the poor, he'll give charity and he'll get the reward of that, and likewise the reward of keeping ties of the relatives by giving charity to the relatives. Like Allah has mentioned here, وَآتَ الْمَالَ عَلَى حُبِّهِ ذَوِي الْقُرْبَى. After that Allah, He mentioned وَالْيَتَامَى, and the orphans. And the orphans. The people of knowledge, they mentioned that the orphan, he is the one who his father died. His father died before he reached the age of puberty. His father died before he reached the age of puberty. If he reached the age of puberty, he's not considered an orphan. If his mother died, not his father, he's not considered an orphan in the legislation. An orphan is the one who is sagir, as-sagir, aladhi mata anhu wariduhu, wa huwa sagir, qabla an yablugh, before he reaches the age of puberty. This one is called an orphan. And in the legislation of Ar-Rahman, the most gracious and the most merciful, it is highly recommended to take care of the orphans. And it's from Iman and from sincere faith. And this is from the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla that He has encouraged the believers to show concern and to show care for the people who are weak. For the people who are weak and they don't have anybody to take care of them. They don't have someone to take care of their affairs. We are required to take care of them. We're required to spend on them. And we're required to be just with them and the likes. In any case, from righteousness here and from those attributes, the attributes of the people of the taqwa is that they spend on the orphans. They spend on the orphans. Wal-masakeen. And likewise, those people who are poor. Al-masakeen, first and foremost, those people who do not have anything. The people who are destitute and poor. Al-fuqara. But likewise, the masakeen included in this understanding are those people that maybe they have something. Maybe they have a job even. Or maybe they have some wealth or a home. Maybe they have a family. But they do not have what they need to survive. They do not have what they need to make it through the month. So they're struggling. They're in debt, or they have bills and their paycheck is used entirely in their needs and they still do not have ends met. This person is considered from the masakeen. This person likewise is considered from the masakeen. He's from the poor. So likewise, from righteousness and piety and from at-taqwa and the fear of Allah and from the completion and the perfection of al-iman is that a believer, he will spend on them. That a believer, he will spend on them. And the Salaf, As-Salaf As-Salih, they used to go around and look for them before they would ask. They would look for the poor people before they had to ask, saving the honor of their brother and saving their brother from humiliating himself or belittling himself and asking the people. They would go to them and find the people who are needy and they would know them. And they would try to spend on them and give them. And even sometimes it's mentioned that they would spend on them and give them and they would not know. And some of the Salaf, it would not be known that the charity that they had given to the poor people until they died and that charity ceased. And then the people who used to receive that hidden charity that would come to them weekly or monthly or from time to time, they would realize that it was so-and-so after his death. Because at this time, whenever he died, the charity stopped coming. So they used to hide that. But they would go to the poor people and they would provide for them and they would take care of them, seeking the pleasure of Allah. Seeking the pleasure of Allah. Then Allah, He says, "Wabn al-sabil," and likewise the wayfarer, the one who is on a journey, al-musafir, the one who is traveling. But the people of knowledge, they mention about the one who is traveling, the one that is recommended to give him wealth, al-musafir al-munqatir, an al-sabil, the one who is cut off from the path. He's traveling and he's trying to get home, but he's cut off. He doesn't have what he needs to make it. He does not have what he needs to make it. Even if he's wealthy or rich in his homeland, but here on his journey, he's stuck and he doesn't have what he needs from provision or from supplies or from even sometimes they mention a means to ride and the likes like this that they will be given. They will be given and they will be provided for. And this is from righteousness. All of this is from birr. All of this is from birr, giving to the people who are in need. Likewise with sa'ilin, then Allah, He says, and those who ask. Meaning sometimes there will be people who are generally wealthy or they are not people of poverty, but something will happen to them and debt will overcome them or something will happen to them and they will be in need and they will have to ask the people. At this time, if they ask, then it is good to give them whenever they ask. And likewise, what is included in this, was sa'ilin, and those who ask, those people who ask on behalf of others, those people who know others who are in need, or they know avenues of khair and goodness, and they're aware of the different ways to spend money in the path of Allah, like seeking knowledge or buying books for certain individuals who have khair with them. They need some help with their provision or supplies in order to perform the da'wah that they do, or the likes like this, or the avenues of khair, somebody who knows some orphans, or somebody who is building a masjid, or somebody who knows somebody who is doing some of these affairs, and the likes like this. And he is not asking for himself. He's not asking for himself. Rather, he's asking for this cause. Then this is something likewise good. But in our days, we know that these type of people are many in the ranks of the believers, and it's very important for a person to verify before he gives those who ask. And many people, they're asking, and there are many avenues of charity, especially online, and many of them are false, and many of them go to deviant sects and groups, and some of them even aid terrorism. Some of them even aid the Sufia and innovations and the likes like this. So therefore, a believer, he will not just look online any organization that is accepting charity and the likes like this, or even zakat and the likes, but rather he will verify and he will give his wealth, nam, but he will make sure that it goes through the proper sources. And he will make sure that it goes to the proper places and through the proper channels and the likes like this. وَسَائِلِينَ وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. And then Allah, He mentioned, and also in freeing slaves. وَفِي الرِّقَابِ. All of these people, it is recommended to spend on them, and some of them it could even be obligatory to spend on them. So this is also what Allah is mentioning here. After mentioning the creed and the aqidah, now He's mentioning here the actions, the sharia, the legislation, the actions. So the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, the people of knowledge, they mentioned it is sharia, it is aqidah and sharia, creed, and then likewise a law and a conduct, law and manners, commandments and prohibitions, actions and the likes that must be performed. So here, this is the mention of that. Those who believe in Allah and the last day. And they believe in the angels and they believe in the books. And they believe in the prophets, and likewise they give their wealth to these people here that has been mentioned specifically. And then Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned after that, وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ, and He established the prayer. What does that mean? This is review, this part. This part here was mentioned in the previous verses in the attributes and characteristics of the righteous. Well, iqama salah. What does that mean? Iqama to salah. They just pray? They establish the prayer. What does it mean to establish the prayer? We had a benefit. There's two aspects of establishing the prayer. Outwardly and inwardly. Naam, outwardly and inwardly. The outwardly means of establishing the prayer is to? Is to pray as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. To pray as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam prayed. How can we learn how to pray how the Prophet prayed sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? By studying the Sunnah, and studying the books of the Sunnah, and studying the hadith of the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specific to these affairs. Who knows a book like that? Umdatul Ahkam, from the first of those books to study how to establish the prayer. Umdatul Ahkam. Umdatul Ahkam, rather it begins like that. How to establish the prayer. Sah? First chapter? Huh? Kitab al-Tahara. That's establishing? Salah. He began with that chapter, the chapter of Tahara, because this is the greatest condition. Miftahu salat at-Tahara. The key to the prayer is purification. Naam, so the likes of these books, they are studied and they are learned. Rather, they are memorized and then they are applied. So a believer who wants to establish the salah because he is hoping to be from the righteous and he wants to fulfill his obligation of faith, he believes that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he is the messenger of Allah. And he testified to that. He testified to that by saying, Ashhadu anna Muhammadan Rasulullah. I bear witness that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This requires for a person to pray the way he prayed, because he is the one who received the message, and praying was revealed to him. The prayer was revealed to him. The prayer of the Muslims was revealed to him, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So therefore, it's incumbent for us who have been honored with this statement to learn how to pray as he prayed. And that means to give up time from our life to learn that. To give up time from our life to learn that. Because this is what our life is for. And this is why we were created. And this is the means of success and happiness. And this is the means of peace and contentment. Just as there's harmony in the rest of the creation. The creation of Allah. It's the creed that it moves in that manner. The sun comes up and goes down in that manner. And the rain, it comes in that beautiful manner we just witness from the sky above our heads. And the clouds, drop by drop, here and there, not all at once, in one place, in a beautiful harmony and benefit coming after that. These creations, they don't have the choice. They just submit. That's why there's perfect harmony. If you, my noble brother, would like to have perfect harmony, likewise, you have to follow Allah's legislation, what He has decreed. He has decreed, and the universal decree for the universe to move in this manner, and He has decreed in His legislative decree for us to move in a certain manner. That's why He sent the books, or revealed the books and sent the messengers. And that's by learning the Sunnah of the Prophet now after he has come, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and believing in the belief that he had and that he taught his companions, and following the methodology that he was upon, and him and his companions, radiyallahu anhum, then a person, he will have peace and contentment by establishing the prayer and the rest of these affairs like this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will aid him. إِنَّ اللَّهَ مَعَ الَّذِينَ اتَّقَوْا وَالَّذِينَ هُمْ مُحْسِنُونَ. Allah is with those people of taqwa. If you have taqwa, Allah is with you. What does that mean? I want the kids to answer. Ali. What does that mean? Allah is with you. Allah is with you. Abdullah. Allah is with us. بِعِلْمِهِ. That what you said? With His knowledge. Allah is with us by way of His knowledge. Allah is with the entire creation by way of His knowledge. But as for the righteous and the pious, He's with them also, especially in a special manner. In a special manner, He's with them by His aid and His support, and by His special mercy that He gives to those who believe in Him. Ar-Rahma al-Imaniyya and Ar-Rububiyya al-Khasa, that He will direct them and guide them and protect them and keep them safe. And He will protect them even from their own desires. And they will have sometimes even a desire to do things, and Allah will prohibit that from them. And Allah will forbid that from them, from falling into that even. And they are the people who are al-mukhlasin, al-mustafain, those who Allah has chosen and selected. And we ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to make us from His beloved servants and slaves who are obedient to Him. So this is why we learned this. These attributes here, this will be a means to gain us the aid and the help of Allah, and the success of Allah, and the protection of Allah. Because Allah, He's with everybody by way of His knowledge. As for Himself, He is above His throne in a manner befitting His majesty. Allah is not inside the creation, but He is with the creation with His knowledge, all of them. He knows what all of His creation is doing. But as for those who believe from them, and from them who believe, who have the stronger taqwa and the more complete deen, they have the aid and the help of Allah. And they have the success and the blessing of Allah. And they have the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is what a believer, he will strive for. And this is what the heart, it will yearn for. Naam. So this is these are some of those traits. وَبِنِ السَّبِيلِ وَالسَّعْلِينَ وَفِلِهُ وَعَتَى وَأَقَامَ الصَّلَاةِ. So that's outwardly. To establish it outwardly by learning the sunnah, by studying the books of hadith that clarify this issue specifically. The outward aspect of establishing the salah. What's the inward aspect? Inside the heart. What's the reality of that? That you remember Allah. وَأَقِيمَ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. The people of knowledge, they call it حُضُور الْقَلْب. حُضُور الْقَلْب. That the heart is حَاضِر. The heart is present. The heart is aware of what one is saying. The heart is alive and aware and conscious that one is praying. Sometimes a person, maybe he's praying, but his heart doesn't realize he's praying. His heart is somewhere else and doing something else. His body is praying, but his heart is not praying. And this is a calamity. This is not good. So the people who establish their prayer, the people of the taqwa, they're praying with their bodies and their hearts. And in their heart, their mind. Their mind is remembering Allah and conscious of what they're saying. That they're bowing and that they're prostrating and that they're standing. And they're not looking to the left or the right. They're not looking to the left or the right with their eyes. And they're not looking to the left or the right with their hearts. With their hearts likewise. With their hearts likewise. This is the establishment of the prayer. This is the establishment of the prayer. To not look like this with the eyes. More important, to not look like this around with the heart. It's called iltifat al-qalb. Iltifat al-qalb. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam su'ila an al-iltifati fi salah. That he was asked about looking around in the prayer. And he said, هُوَ اِخْتِلَاسٌ اِخْتَلَسَهُ الشَّيْطَانُ مِنْ صَلَاةِ الْعَبْدِ. That this is something that shaytan اِخْتَلَسَ. Al-iqtilas is to snap something and run with it when nobody's looking. In English, what do they call that? To rip him off. To rip him off. He's not paying attention. He rips him off. He steals from him real quick and he swiftly, like this, cleverly snatch from him something. This is what shaytan, he does to the salah whenever a person is looking around like this. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned about this affair, barakallahu fikum, that there's two types of iltifat. And one of them is more severe. The first one is the iltifat with the eyes, iltifat al-basar, to look like this in the prayer. The other one, which is more severe, is iltifat al-qalb. It's whenever the heart is looking around, yani not focused and not looking to Allah, and not being devoted to Allah, but rather being devoted and concentrating and thinking deeply about the dunya. And he made an example, just so that it could be clear for a person to understand. Before we get lost, what are we talking about? Iqamatus salat, establishing the prayer. Because we want to establish the prayer, why? So we can have a taqwa, because this is the means to have the protection from the anger of Allah. And those who are protected from the anger of Allah, what do they have? Safety from the hellfire. And that means that they will be in the Jannah. And in the Jannah they will see the one they feared, and the one they prostrated before, and the one they prayed for, and the one they gave their wealth for. So there's a lot at stake here. There's a lot at stake here. So therefore, establishing the prayer. He mentioned and he made example, rahimahullah ta'ala, of a person who is standing in front of a king. He's standing in front of a king and he's looking directly at him, and the king is telling him some very important affairs, but his heart is thinking about something else. So although the king is addressing him and talking to him directly, he is not even paying any attention to him whatsoever. And the words are, like they say, going in one ear and out the other. Sometimes we have experienced that. Sometimes somebody's mind will be somewhere and we'll be talking to them and they're looking at us, and we can see clearly that they do not know what we're saying, and that they're somewhere else. What do you think that king would think about that man? The king summoned him and called him here. I need to tell you something very important and mention some very beneficial things to you. And then whenever he gets there, he's telling him and he's looking like this and is blind-eyed, looking away like this. How would that king deal with that person? At very minimum, he's going to lose any respect for him. So, لِلَّهِ الْمَثَلِ الْعَالَى. So how about the King of Kings when we stand before Allah Azza wa Jal? All of these are reminders. And every one of us, we have shortcomings with regards to this. But we have to strive and try and make effort. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُولَنَا. And whoever strives then in our path, then verily will guide them, Allah, he says. So this is something that is related to establishing the prayer. Establishing the prayer outwardly and inwardly. وَآتَ الزَّكَاتَ. And also they give the zakat. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned about this, that it could be understood in two ways. They give zakat, meaning يُزَكُونَ أَنفُسَهُمْ. That they purify their souls from the lowly manners and from the filthy traits. So he mentioned that it could refer to zakat al-nafs. But many of the scholars, they mentioned also, he mentioned as well, that it's referring to zakat al-mal. But from the benefits of zakat al-mal is that it has zakat al-nafs. That it is a means to purify the soul. All of these affairs, complying to these commandments and leaving off the prohibitions, is a means of purifying the soul. These are the traits of the righteous. They give the zakat. They give the obligatory charity. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا أَهَدُوا. And they fulfill their covenants whenever they make covenants. If they make a contract, they fulfill it. If they make a promise, they fulfill it. And this is contrary to the hypocrites. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he mentioned from the signs of the hypocrites, إِذَا أَهَدَ غَدَرْ. If he made the promise, if he made the ahd, that he will break it. He would betray it. He would go back on it without right. This is from the traits of the hypocrites. As for the traits of the righteous, what do they do? وَالْمُوفُونَ بِعَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا أَهَدُوا. They fulfill their covenants and their promises whenever they make them. Also the people of knowledge, they mentioned, barakallahu fikum, that al-ahad, wal-ruhud, wal-mu'ahad is two types likewise. To have a covenant, there's two types of covenants. Who knows what they may be? Two types. Al-ahdu ma'allahi azza wa jal. First and foremost, the covenant with Allah azza wa jal. This is the first. ثُمَّ الْعَهْدُ مَعَ الْخَلْقِ. And then the covenants with the people. So the covenants, making the covenant, those who fulfill their covenants. First and foremost, that means they fulfill their covenant with Allah. The greatest covenant with Allah Azza wa Jalla is this wasiyah here of a taqwa. وَلَقَدْ وَصَّيْنَا الَّذِينَ أُوتُوا الْكِتَابَ مِنْ قَبْلِكُمْ وَإِيَّاكُمْ أَنِ اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ. Verily, we have commanded and advised and ordained for those who are given the book before you and you as well, that you fear Allah. All of the generations of mankind, they have been commanded with this wasiyah to fear Allah, to believe in Him, to believe in what He has commanded to believe in, and to comply to His commandments and stay away from His prohibitions. Now, this is what they have been commanded with. وَأَوْفُوا بِعَهْدِي أوفي بأهديكم وإياي فارهبون. Fulfill my covenant with me, fulfill your covenant with me, and I will fulfill mine with you. And fear me alone. And fear me alone. Now the covenant with Allah Azza wa Jalla, this is the shahada and the promise to not worship anyone except for Him. And likewise the promise and the covenant and the oath to not worship Him except in the manner of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. This is the covenant, this is the contract, this is the oath to testify to this and to strive to fulfill that. There's a promise that a believer he has whenever he makes this statement. This is a ahd and this is a aqid, and that's the reality of al aqidah. And that aqidah requires for one to submit to the law of Allah, to His sharia. And these are the traits of those people here. This is what we're studying. Al aqidah wa sharia. The aqidah is a ahd. Ma'allahi Azza wa Jal, an aqid, a contract, a bond, a promise, a promise. Huh? Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu. In Surah Al-Anfal, la tukunu amanatikum. La tukunu Allaha wa rasuluhu wa la tukunu amanatikum wa antum ta'lamun. O you who believe, do not betray Allah and do not betray the Messenger and do not betray your trust while you know. Many of the people of knowledge, they mentioned that disobedience is betraying Allah and His Messenger. To disobey Allah and to disobey the Messenger, this is betrayal. This is betrayal to that promise. To that promise. This is betrayal. If a person remembers that he has a promise and a trust, that he believes in Allah and that He will meet him, and that he believes in the Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and that He has come and He has conveyed the message, and that He will follow him. By leaving off the obedience to Allah and His Messenger, this is in reality betraying the trust and the promise and invalidating that. It can be invalidated entirely from the bottom, or it can be invalidated, yani not necessarily invalidated, but that bond can become weak. The bond can become weak. The bond, like for example, if you tie a knot, sometimes if you, like on your shoes, what happens? It comes loose. You got to keep checking on it. Likewise, we see the example of the iman and the thawb. You got to keep it clean. You got to keep checking on it. You got to take care of it. Like this, the ahd with Allah Azza wa Jal. We have to take care of it. We have to take care of our promise and contract with Allah Azza wa Jal, and renew it often and review it often. And also we have to be very diligent with those under our care to make sure that they do not invalidate their contracts likewise, and they do not betray the trust likewise, and to cultivate them and raise them upon a good way, so that they will be able at least to have the keys to be able to fulfill that covenant and that promise. So this is from the affairs. وَالْمُوفُونَ بِأَهْدِهِمْ إِذَا عَهَدُوا لَتَخُونُوا اللَّهَ وَرَسُولُهُ وَتَخُونُوا أَمَانَاتِكُمْ وَأَنْتُمْ تَعْلَمُونَ يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لا تخونوا الله ورسوله ولا تخونوا أماناتكم وأنتم تعلمون. جزاك الله خيرا. والموفون بعهدهم. Those who fulfill their covenants. So the first covenant is with Allah Azza wa Jalla. After that, with mankind likewise. With mankind, with the people. With mankind, with the people. With your wife. Or with your husband, for the sisters. Likewise, if you promise your children or your classmates or those who you work with and colleagues, whatever the case may be, your brothers, you have contracts, you have covenants, you agree, you have agreements that's known between the two. They must be fulfilled. They cannot be violated. They cannot be betrayed. And the likes like this, a believer, he's aware of this and he observes that and he keeps his promise and his trust and he is truthful in these affairs. This is something that's very important, that a believer, he'll be truthful with regards to that, to the trust and the covenants that he makes. And if something comes up and he has to break that, then he will inform them and he will clarify and he will present his excuse. That way he will not be blameworthy and he will not have the traits of the hypocrites. But as for the one who is making promises and breaking them left and right, and he's known for that, then this is from the signs of hypocrisy. The one who is making covenants and he has a contract in business or whatever the case may be, or even with his own children, I promise I'll do this for you, or I'll do that for you, or on this day we'll go here. all of this, this has to be fulfilled. These are covenants and contracts, promises that a believer, he will observe and he will maintain and he'll fulfill. And if he has to break them for whatever the reason may be, he'll clarify that and excuse himself. He'll clarify that and he will excuse himself. But it's not something that the people of righteousness and piety take advantage of. Rather, that's the traits of the hypocrites, of the hypocrites. نسأل الله العافية والسلامة. So therefore, from the traits of the righteous and the people of At-Taqwa, they fulfill their covenants with Allah and likewise with the people. Their covenants with Allah and likewise with the people. And we see it in our narration that we're studying. Likewise, this is what is clarified in this narration. Fulfilling the rights of Allah and His creation. اتَّقُوا اللَّهَ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتُمْ أَوْ حَيْثُ مَا كُنْتَ. And then in the end, what is it? وَخَالِقِ النَّاسِ بِخُلُقِ الْحَسَنِ. So, and likewise, in between that, your own soul. وَأَتْبِعِ السَّيِّئَةَ الْحَسَنَةَ تَمْحُهَا. So therefore, fulfilling the rights of Allah Azza wa Jalla and the rights of His creation, this is from the keys and from the signs of happiness and success. There was a benefit yesterday about that. Who remembers that? It was with regards to the mention of As-Salat and the Zakat and the Qur'an coupled together a lot. Shaykh As-Sa'di rahimahullah ta'ala, he mentioned that benefit. The wisdom behind the mention of Salat and Zakat in the Qur'an a lot. Ahsant. Because the Salat and the fi Salat, ikhlasun lil ma'bud. Wa Zakat ihsanun li abidihi. He mentioned that in the prayer, there is sincere devotion and worship of Allah Azza wa Jal. And by performing the Zakat, this is doing good to his slaves. And then he mentioned and derived from that, and that because they come mentioned a lot like this, coupled like this, like here, وَقَامَ الصَّلَاةَ وَآتَ الزَّكَاةَ, here in this ayat al-bir, mentioned directly like this. And also in the other verses we studied yesterday, it's mentioned like this many times. So he derived from that, and this benefit, that they're mentioned together like this because this includes fulfilling the right of Allah and the right of His servants. Fulfilling the right of Allah and the right of His servants. And then derive from that benefit that this is the sign of true happiness and felicity. And that this is the sign and of true success. The one who concerns himself with worshipping Allah Azza wa Jal and likewise doing good to the creation and doing good to the people. Being beneficial to mankind. Not harming them. Not harming the people. And we've seen that those people who are known for worship but they harm the people, that worship can be invalidated. That worship can be invalidated and it can be weak. And even a person, he could be known for piety and righteous actions, but because he harms the people, he will still be punished. He will still be punished, even entering the fire. Even entering the fire. So therefore, harming the people is something that is not the trait of the righteous. The righteous people, mankind is safe from them. Safe from their tongue and safe from their hands. Who knows the hadith? Al-Muslim wa man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadi. In some narrations and hatta al-Nas, all mankind is mentioned like that. Al-Muslim wa man salim al-Muslimuna min lisanihi wa yadihi. That the true Muslim, and the good Muslim, the Muslim who has good Islam is the one who the Muslims are safe from his tongue and from his hand. Some narrations mention the people. And even the disbelievers, it's not permissible for us to violate their rights. To violate their rights. Naam, so all of this is from taqwa. All of this is from piety. All of this is from deen. All of this is from Islam. All of this is from the perfection, the completion of Iman. All of this is from the reality of al-istiqamah. All of this is something that every believer he wants, but some people do not achieve it. Who is going to make effort? He is the one who's going to achieve it. Huh? Can you do it by yourself? No, you have to have your brothers. Now, what proof? What dalil? Did the righteous make it to the ranks by themselves? Wal asr. Inna al-insana lafi khusr. Illa alladhina amanu wa amilu salihat. Wa tawasaw bil haqq. Wa tawasaw bil haqq. They work together. They cooperate together. He remind me, I remind him. We teach him and he teach us. We work together like this. And a believer, by way of his brothers, is strong. By the permission of Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever he's with his brothers, he's strong. His iman is strong. And his deen is strong. By the permission of Allah, he's with his brothers. whatever he gets by himself, he's like a lost sheep or a stray sheep for shaitan. And this has been mentioned in the narrations. So therefore, any of the believers, they have to cooperate together. And this is something that is very clear in the Quran, that the people of Iman, they cooperate together and they should be united upon the correct way. إِيَّاكَ نَعْبُدُ وَإِيَّاكَ نَسْتَعِينُ اهْدِنَا الصِّرَاطَ الْمُسْتَقِيمَ. You alone do we worship, not me. You alone do we seek your help. Your help alone do we seek. Any we, نَحْنُ. You alone do, like this, guide us to the straight path. Not guide me to the straight path. Like the Quran is full like this. أَلَّذِينَ آمَنُوا يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا. Like this, oh you who believe, all of you, addressing the believers as a fold and as a whole. So this is something that's very important. To be upon piety and righteousness, you have to be with your brothers. This is a means to be strong. A means to be strong. Whenever we get alone, Shaitan, he whispers. So this is something to keep in mind. Then he says, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَالصَّابِرِينَ فِي الْبَأْسَاءِ وَالضَّرَّاءِ وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. And likewise, those who are patient. وَالصَّابِرِينَ بِالْمَدْحِ وَالذِّكْرِ. That Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he specified those who are patient. Those who are patient fi al-ba'sa. The people of Nahr, as they mentioned, al-ba'sa, al-bu's. Al-bu's, yani al-faqr, in the time of poverty. In the time of poverty, they're patient. والضرّة, the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, al-marad wal-asqam, al-marad wal-saqam, in the times of sickness. So they're patient. They're patient with hardship and difficulties whenever there's poverty. And they're patient in hardship and difficulty whenever there's sickness and ailments. وحين البأس. And in the people of Nahr, as they mentioned, al-ba'as, yani shiddat al-qitan, whenever the battle gets severe. At these times, Allah, he mentioned about the righteous, they're patient. They're patient in dealing with these hardships. Any hardships coming from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, and affairs that they have no ability to change. And that is with regards to poverty. That's in the hands of Allah Azza wa Jal. And even though they're poverty, they, maybe they have been afflicted with poverty, they remain patient, and that poverty does not cause them to have any wrong feelings toward the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. Some people say, why me? Why me? He'll say, I don't deserve it. All of this is falsehood. But rather, the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla, it occurs, and whatever He wills, it happens. And whatever He does not will, it does not happen. And all of it has been written with Him subhanahu wa ta'ala, and He knows what is best for His creation. So therefore, whenever these people, they're tried in this affair, they're patient. And their poverty does not cause them to transgress the limits or fall into trying to earn a living or gain wealth or to come out of poverty by means that are not permissible. So they're patient with regards to that. And they know that the decree is from Allah Azza wa Jal. And likewise in sickness. In sickness they're patient. And they know that the decree is from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبًا. And whoever believes in Allah, then he will guide his heart. The people of Allah, as they mentioned, meaning in his decree. And at the times of hardship and difficulty. That a believer, the one who knows that calamity is from Allah and he submits, then Allah will guide his heart. This is the means for the iman to become strong and to increase at the time of hardship or difficulty or experiencing any things like sickness or poverty or loss of wealth and the likes like this, or loss of health or family members and loved ones. The one who knows that that's from Allah and he submits to that. Although maybe his heart has distress and he feels pain, but at the same time he knows it's from Allah Azza wa Jalla and he submits and surrenders, then this is a means for guidance to enter his heart and for his faith to become strong. وَمَنْ يُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ. So these people, the righteous people, the people of At-Taqwa, those who truly believe in Allah and the angels and the last day and the likes, they are patient with the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They're patient with the decrees of Allah Azza wa Jal. And the third time he mentioned here, Subhanahu wa ta'ala, وَحِينَ الْبَأْسِ. And whenever they are in battle, likewise. And whenever they are in battle, and whenever the battle becomes severe, likewise they are patient. After this, Allah Azza wa Jal, he clarified, and he mentioned, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. These people here, these people, they're the ones who are truthful. They're not lying. They're truthful. They're not dishonest. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. And these people here, They're the ones who are truthful. وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمْ الْمُتَّقُونَ. These people here, whom this way of construction of the sentence, and meaning specifically these people and nobody else. And if these are the true people of truthfulness, and these are the true people of a taqwa, those who have fulfilled these traits, and they are described with these characteristics. Ibn Kathir, he mentioned about this a very beautiful benefit. He says, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. And in the statement of Allah Azza wa Jalla, these people here, they're the ones who were truthful. صَدَقُوا فِي مَالَ. They're truthful in what? He said, أي هَؤُلَاءِ الَّذِينَ تَصَفُوا بِهَذِهِ الصِّفَاتِ هُمُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا فِي إِيمَانِهِمْ. That these people here, the ones who are described with these traits that are mentioned, that we have spent this whole class studying, these traits here, these people that are described with these traits, they're the ones who are truthful in their iman. They're the ones who are truthful in their iman. Because all of the believers, they say, I believe. And all of the believers, they do believe. But as we mentioned before, that belief can be complete, and it can be even be higher than that in ranks, or it can be deficient. And it's accordingly. And all of the believers, they will have what they have earned. And they will see what they have put forth for their life. So these people here with these traits, أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. These are the ones. The people who are described with these traits, they are the ones who are truthful in their claim to Iman. They are truthful with Allah and their promise and their covenant. They are truthful with Allah and their promise and their covenant. I believe. أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَٰهَ إِلَّا. These people right here, they're the ones that are really truthful in that. نَمْ أَشْهَدُ أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ. These people with these traits right here, they're the ones who are truthful. أُولَٰئِكَ. And they're the ones who are truthful. الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Then he says, why? Why are these ones truthful in their faith? لِأَنَّهُمْ حَقَّقُوا الْإِيمَانِ الْقَلْبِ بِالْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ. بِالْأَقْوَالِ وَالْأَفْعَالِ. Why are these the ones that are considered the truthful? Because they're the ones who actualized and realized and fulfilled the rights of the faith and the heart with their statements and actions. With their statements and actions. So it's very important that a believer, his statements and actions testify to the authenticity of his faith and to the truthfulness of his claim to Iman. That his statements and his actions, his manners and his conducts and his dealings, his prayer and his salah, and the way that he walks and he carries himself, his money and his wealth, how he gets it, how he spends it, all of these affairs here, they will testify to the authenticity of the Iman. Is it strong? Is it high? Or is it low and is it weak? The more one is described with these traits here, the higher the Iman will be. And the more truthful and sincere he will be. And likewise, along with that, the more aid and success and goodness he will have from Allah Azza wa Jal. وَالَّذِينَ اِهْتَدَوْ زَادَهُمْ هُدًى وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. And he will give them their piety. Those who follow the guidance. And if those who follow the guidance, they follow that, they learn the right way, and they follow that. And then Allah, he will increase them in guidance and give them their piety. And he give them the taqwa. Allah will give them the taqwa. By doing what? By learning the guidance. الَّذِينَ اهْتَدَوْا زَادَهُمْ هُدًى. يعني إِلْمَ النَّافِعِ وَآتَاهُمْ تَقْوَاهُمْ. يعني العمل الصالح. يعني عمل بالعلم. And Allah will give them their piety. He will grant them more knowledge, and he will give them success to apply that. And he will increase them in good. Those people who strive like this. أُولَٰئِكَ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا. Yani those people who their actions and their statements testify to what is in their heart. Testify to what is in their heart. And then he mentioned here, أُولَٰئِكَ سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُتَّقُونَ. These people, they are the righteous. They are the righteous. These people, they are the righteous. So the people of at-taqwa. So therefore we see at-taqwa is characteristics and traits. And they consist of, before that, ahsant. They consist of, first and foremost, creed and belief in the heart. Now, like Iman, it's a creed. Taqwa, the deen of Allah Azza wa Jal, it is aqeedah. It is aqeedah and also sharia. It is aqeedah and sharia. Aqeedah, which is inside of the heart, usul al-Iman, belief, faith, believing in Allah. If that belief is strong, and believing in the meeting of Allah, and believing in the angels, and believing in the affairs of the hereafter, and that the messengers have come, and that the Quran is the truth, and that the Jannah is the truth, and the nar is and the fire is the truth. Believing in these things, this is called aqidah, this is creed, and this is taqwa, and this is birr, and this is righteousness. And the stronger that is in the heart, and the more firm that is in the heart, and the more deeply rooted that is in the heart, and the more a believer, he reflects upon these affairs, and he ponders on these affairs, the better his actions will be. The more he will establish the prayer. He will stop praying and he will start establishing the prayer. He will stop praying and he will start establishing the prayer. SubhanAllah, even before establishing the prayer, we should try to establish the wudu. The wudu has to be established too. The wudu is an action that we do a lot every day. And these actions, it's easy if we're not aware to just become habits. But they're not habits. Allah, He mentioned about these people, the people who purify themselves. In Allah, yuhibbu at-tawwabin wa yuhibbu al-mutatahirin. If we make wudu like this, and remember that Allah, He loves those people who make wudu. I'm making wudu because Allah, He loves for me to make wudu. If I make wudu, He'll love me. And I'm making wudu to stand before Him. And I can't stand before Him except if I make wudu. So therefore, I remember Allah Azza wa Jal. And I make wudu for His sake alone. And then what do? I follow the sunnah in the application and the performance of making wudu. This is ibadah. And the hope for the reward of Allah Azza wa Jal, now even wudu comes alive. And my heart is alive with this. And then if the one who makes wudu like this, imagine his prayer after that. Inshallah, even better.